Here the mask slips. Despite the mentions of unbelievers, there are none of the usual rants about crusaders or Jews, Americans, or the apostate rulers of the Islamic world. It is possible that admirers of Western civilization subsumes all these. But tellingly, the reference is not to the eternal crusader, the historic violator of the realm of Islam, or to the eternal Jew who rejects Muhammad's prophecy. Rather, it is to the contemporary admirers of Western civilization. That world armed with equipment and gates, they are what matters. The young Egyptian had chosen to study in Hamburg, believing that to do so would help him to avoid the fate of masses of Egyptian university graduates who cannot find a decent job when they graduate. At the Technical University in Hamburg, where he studied urban planning, Atta wrote a thesis on the Syrian city of Aleppo and the conflict there between the old, haphazard, organic neighborhoods and modernism, the clearing of the slums and the building of high-rises. He came to loathe the new style. And as time went by in Germany, he seemed more deeply alienated from his surroundings. Many noted his fastidiousness, his refusal to come into close contact with Germans, especially women. In his latter years in Hamburg, he frequently expressed his revulsion at the culture around him. No wonder he chose a World Trade Center tower as his target. Atta was a man flagellating himself. At some point, how and when are not clear, he had a brush with temptation. Perhaps he felt he had succumbed. Whatever touched him, he identified with the West. It might have been as simple as a desire to be part of the West that he felt contaminated him. His repulsion was powerful, and he felt somehow humiliated. In this, Atta resembles many of the radicals who take up arms against the West. The Egyptian Mahmoud Abu Halima, one of the conspirators who bombed the World Trade Center in 1993, was living in Germany in the 1980s, where his life was one of corruption, girls, drugs, you name it. Eventually, he turned to the Quran. After moving to New York, he joined the community of Atlantic Avenue jihadists around Sheikh Rahman. "Islam is a mercy," he told the scholar Mark Jürgensmeyer, explaining that it rescued the fallen and gave meaning to one's personal life. Abu Halima traveled to Afghanistan in 1988 to show he was a Muslim, not a sheep. The novelist V.S. Naipaul has spoken about half-baked countries, the developing nations that dangle between modern and traditional, West and East. The pathology is different, but these jihadists have the quality of half-baked men. The societies Naipaul wrote about lurch back and forth, reaching for modernization and then stridently reasserting their traditions in an effort to compensate for a sense of inferiority. The terrorists lurch even more violently. Whether the individual has a buried religious sensibility that is reasserting itself, or has no religious background and is searching for stability and identity in an unwelcoming universe, and many were illegal immigrants in the West at one point or another, the perception of past corruption is real. The remedy is to fight the seducer and sacrifice his people to propitiate an affronted God.